Hey there, welcome to the Creative Classroom Podcast. I'm your host, John Spencer. I'm a former middle school teacher, current college professor, and I am passionate about seeing teachers transform their classrooms into bastions of creativity and wonder. And so on this podcast, we explore that intersection of teaching and learning with creativity. So it's easy to pit creativity and consumption against each other. You know, you say like, kids should be makers and not takers. They should be creating, not consuming. But the reality is that critical consuming is vital for creative work. And that's what I want to explore on today's episode. I'm gonna start with a childhood story. So just bear with me. I still remember sitting in my sister's Pontiac Grand Am when she placed this cassette into the tape deck. After a few hissing sounds, I listened skeptically, very skeptically, to the repetitive chord progression of the sparse sounding Round Here, followed by the fuller, eclectic sound of the song Omaha, and then the one song that I actually recognized from the radio, which was Mr. Jones. Although, come to think of it, this might have actually been before County Crows made it big, so maybe not. Although it was a new album, and I'd never heard anything like it, there was this weird sense that it was vaguely familiar. It felt a bit like sitting on the shag carpet listening to my dad play The Band or Van Morrison, but it also had this touch of the popular grunge sound that was, you know, emerging at the time. Now, although August and Everything After would eventually become classic, and it would be considered a pretty original album, as an awkward teenager, it felt familiar. I was able to pick up on the bands that had influenced Adam Duritz and Counting Crows in the creation of this album. If you think about it, just about every band you listen to began as a copycat act. The lead guitarist cut their teeth playing Stairway to Heaven on an acoustic guitar, back at a time when they still had zits all over their face. And whether they wore out records or curated a Spotify playlist, most musical artists describe geeking out on their favorite bands and singers in their adolescence. In other words, consuming led to creativity. But that doesn't always happen, right? Sometimes you consume and you never create. As teachers, we see students spending hours staring at YouTube videos without ever taking the creative leap and making their own videos themselves. We see them playing video games but never actually creating their own games, or listening to music but never creating their own music. So why does this happen? Well, it turns out students need to be more than just consumers. They need to be critical consumers. Now, I created a little sketch video. If you're interested, you can find it on spencerauthor.com/criticalconsuming or by going to spencervideos.com. It's on there. But I have a video about this process of consuming to creating. And we often hear about that distinction of consuming and creating as if these two acts are diametrically opposed. It's the idea that we should spend our time making stuff rather than taking and consuming and just looking and listening. But the best creative thinkers are always borrowing ideas and influences from what they consume. It's one of the reasons I love the book Steal Like an Artist from Austin Kleon. It's this idea that the better consuming we do, the better we will be at making. If you look at the best makers in any field, regardless of what it is, you will notice that they are critical consumers. And this is because creativity doesn't happen in a vacuum. Chefs love great meals. Musicians geek out on music and make their own mixtapes. Architects often visit new cities and tour buildings to find inspiration. Filmmakers watch tons of different movies. Engineers often study objects within their world. Computer scientists view other people's lines of code. Fashion designers are always looking at other people's outfits. artists are constantly going to museums, right? Writers love to read books. You could go on and on and on. In other words, creative types consume what they love. It's what they do. And there's often this ongoing cycle that starts with critical consuming. This consuming is intentional and mindful. Here, you are asking questions and seeking out new ideas. You're curating information and geeking out on your craft. And this leads to the second phase of inspiration. It might be a mashup of multiple ideas, or you might take a different angle or a fresh perspective to a problem. Often you plan and design in this phase, but sometimes you're just playing and experimenting. And this in turn leads to creative work. Now this could involve, you know, solving a problem, planning an event, creating art, building systems, you know, designing things that are physical or digital. I mean, there's so many different options here. But the more you engage in that creativity, the better you understand your craft, which leads back to the first phase in the cycle, which is consuming critically, right? Then you consume critically, and then you're finding more inspiration, and then you're creating more, which makes you a better consumer, and the cycle continues. And so how do we make this a reality? Well, as a classroom teacher, it can be challenging to promote this type of critical consuming. But the following are a few strategies we could try. Number one, embrace student choice in all subjects. So this could be something like a Genius Hour project. It could be something like Dan Meyer's What Can You Do With This concept with math problems. It could be something as simple as giving kids choice in silent reading. They could do a Wonder Day project. I mean, there's lots of different options. So again, it's the idea of embracing voice and choice. There's also a choice menu activity on this article that goes with this podcast. So if you click on that choice menu thing, you can check it out. That's another option. So there's lots of different ways that you can do this. And the goal is to find topic or content neutral standards that allow students to engage in skill practice while giving them choice and voice and agency in what they're deciding to create. All right, number two is to teach students critical research skills. So we use this process. I did this with students, this five-step process. One is looking at context, two is looking at credibility, then construction, corroboration, and then comparison. And finally, when they do that, they summarize all of that into their own information. And there's lots of different ways that you can help students to think critically. So the goal is that you're helping them with critical research skills, and that will help them become critical consumers. But one thing I found to be really helpful was actually to integrate student journalism projects, because that forces them to think critically about what they're consuming in the process of actually creating something new. Number three is to have students curate resources. So they can, in a social studies class, they might curate historical resources or events, things that they geek out on. We used to do like random history. They would do like the history of, you know, peanut butter or something like that. And then they would curate all these different resources. In a science class, they might curate random science phenomena that they find fascinating. Again, that works really well with inquiry-based learning, or things that they've created. In a math class, they might curate examples of math in real life. And one of my favorite examples of this was watching a class having students curate bad graphs, so bad examples of graphical representations of information. Number four is to embed critical consuming into design thinking and PBL. So, for example, in the launch cycle that AJ Giuliani and I developed, we explicitly included critical consuming into the design process. So we had them start with asking questions and then engaging in their own research before they ever generated their own ideas. So those are all ways that you can embed critical consuming into what you do. I think there's other things that we could look at, things like having students do Socratic seminars, teaching them how to ask critical thinking questions, just engaging in their curiosity. The bottom line, though, is this. The better they are at critical consuming, the better they'll be at creativity. And ultimately, that's what we want. We want them to be problem solvers and divergent thinkers. And a part of that means they need to be good critical consumers. Hey, thank you for listening to the Creative Classroom Podcast. Would you do me a favor? If you enjoy this podcast, would you leave a review on iTunes or Stitcher? That would mean the world to me. Again, thank you for listening. Have a wonderful day and go out and make something awesome.